There are two sets of penalties to look at. We will start by looking at the penalties HMRC will charge for the late filing of the tax return. At the end of this session, we will have a look at the penalties charged if the taxpayer gets his tax return wrong, i.e. he submits an incorrect tax return.
Finance Act 2009 is introducing a new harmonised regime in respect of penalties for late returns. Under the new regime, a £100 penalty will be levied immediately after the due date for filing where the return has not been filed, whether or not any outstanding tax has been paid. Daily penalties of £10 per day may be levied for returns that are more than 3 months late, running for a maximum of 90 days.
Penalties of 5% of the liability to tax for the return period, or £300 if greater, will apply where a return is over 6 months late. The same penalty will also apply if a return is more than 12 months late. However, higher penalties of up to 70% of the liability to tax, or £300 if greater, will apply where a person fails to submit a return for over 12 months and has deliberately withheld information necessary for HMRC to assess the tax due. The amount of the penalty increases to 100% of the liability to tax, or £300 if greater, if withholding the information is deliberate and concealed. For example, Harris received notice to file an income tax return for 2010-11 on the 6th of April 2011. He intended to file the return online, but did not actually file the return until the 1st of March 2012. As Harris did not file the return by the due date of the 31st of January 2012, he will be liable to a fixed £100 penalty. Let us also consider the situation of Mardy. Mardy filed his 2010-11 income tax return on the 1st of August 2012. He had received a notice to file the return on the 6th of April 2011. The return showed a liability to tax of £12,000. As the return was not filed by the 31st of January 2012, a fixed £100 penalty will be levied. As the return was outstanding for more than 3 months, HMRC could decide to impose daily penalties of £10 per day for a maximum of 90 days. Finally, as the return was outstanding for more than 6 months, a penalty of 5% of the liability to tax of £12,000, i.e. £600, will be charged. Penalties that apply where a person has deliberately withheld information can be reduced for both unprompted and prompted disclosure of the information. Disclosure takes place where a taxpayer tells HMRC about the relevant information, gives HMRC reasonable help in quantifying the tax unpaid as a result of the information being withheld, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. Disclosure is unprompted if it is made when there is no reason to believe that HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the information. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. The table appearing on your screen details the maximum and minimum penalties that could apply. For example, if the taxpayer has deliberately withheld information from HMRC, but without concealing the information, the penalty may be reduced from the maximum of 70% to a minimum of 20% if there is unprompted disclosure. Note that the minimum penalty is £300 if greater. HMRC have the power to reduce the penalty if there are special circumstances. The maximum aggregate penalty, calculated as a percentage of the liability to tax, that can be charged in respect of the late filing of a return, is 100% of the liability to tax. Where a penalty for a late return is calculated based on a tax liability, the amount of the penalty is reduced by any other penalty calculated in relation to the same liability, for example, a failure to notify penalty. However, the penalty is not reduced by a penalty for late payment of tax. In other words, if a return is filed late and the tax liability is paid late, the taxpayer will incur both late filing and late payment penalties. Late payment penalties must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice of assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The taxpayer will have the right to appeal against a penalty on the grounds of reasonable excuse. We will now take a look at amendments and inquiries. The revenue has the right to amend the taxpayer's tax return within 9 months of the date of receipt. The revenue will usually do this to eliminate or to reverse any obvious errors or mistakes within the return. These are usually arithmetical errors, although the revenue can reverse any technical mistakes made by the taxpayer in completing the return. The taxpayer also has the right to amend the return already submitted, so long as this is within 12 months of the due date for filing. So, for example, if a taxpayer realizes he has made an error in the return after having filed it, he can write to the revenue to reverse the error or mistake. The due date for filing for amendment purposes is the 31st of January following the tax year. Where the 12-month deadline for a taxpayer to amend a return has passed, a claim can be made in certain circumstances to recover tax overpaid as a result of a mistake. The claim must be made within 4 years of the end of the relevant tax year, so if a taxpayer has made a mistake in the tax return for 2010-11, a claim for relief must be made by the 5th of April 2015. For example, if a sole trader claimed advertising expenses of £150 when the actual expenses incurred were £1,500, then a claim for relief can be made. However, if there is any other means of obtaining the relief, for example, by making or amending a self-assessment return, this method must be used in priority to overpayment relief. If the matter has already been the subject of an appeal to the tribunal, then no claim can be made. In addition, a claim cannot be made where the tax return was prepared in accordance with the practice generally prevailing at the time. A claim cannot be made where the mistake is in a claim or election. In addition, a claim cannot be made if the mistake consists of the actual making of a claim or failing to make a claim. For example, if a taxpayer made a claim to set a trading loss against income of a year in which they were a basic rate taxpayer, rather than in a year in which they were a higher rate taxpayer, overpayment relief cannot be claimed. Additionally, if a taxpayer could have claimed relief for trading loss against other income, but the claim was not made, again, no relief will be available under these provisions. Instead, if a mistake has been made in a claim, an amendment can be made within 12 months from the normal filing date of the return, or date on which the claim was made. If this 12-month deadline has passed, provided the time limit for making the original claim has not expired, a supplementary claim can be made. If a claim has not been made within the time limit, HMRC do have the means to accept late claims in limited cases. For example, if there has been a relevant error by HMRC. The revenue has the right to make a formal inquiry into every tax return submitted to them in a particular tax year. This enables the officer to look closely at the individual entries within the tax return, and very often, taxpayers will be asked to support each entry with the relevant documentary evidence. The revenue inquiries will either be random or specific. A specific inquiry is an inquiry into an individual item or a group of items on a tax return. For example, the revenue may ask the taxpayer for documentary evidence to support a particular claim for tax relief, or they may ask, for example, for dividend vouchers to verify that the figure on the tax return in respect of dividend income is in fact correct. Bear in mind that the revenue does receive information from certain third parties about income received by taxpayers. For example, UK banks and building societies will give details to the Inland Revenue of any interest paid to UK taxpayers. Therefore, the revenue want to make sure that the individual's tax return is consistent with the information they already have. Probably the most common target for specific inquiries are the self-employed, who are regularly asked to produce their books and records to support the details on the tax return. In particular, cash trades such as pubs, market traders, taxi drivers, etc. are a favourite source of revenue inquiries. Each year, the revenue will select a random number of taxpayers for a general inquiry. This is intended to be a deterrent, i.e. an incentive for taxpayers to get their tax returns right, just in case they are selected for a random inquiry. To commence a formal inquiry, an officer must issue a formal inquiry notice under Section 9A TMA 1970, within the time allowed. The time limit for commencing an inquiry is 12 months from the day on which the return is delivered. This means that in the case of 2010-11 tax returns, if HMRC wishes to commence an inquiry into that return, and that return was delivered on, say, the 15th of December 2011, HMRC must send out the notice to the taxpayer no later than the 15th of December 2012. If the tax return is submitted late, i.e. the taxpayer misses the 31st of January filing deadline, then the deadline for the revenue to raise a formal inquiry into the return is extended. The final date for raising an inquiry is extended to the end of the calendar quarter following the anniversary of actual filing date of the tax return. Here, calendar quarters are deemed to end on the 30th of April, 31st of July, 31st of October, and 31st of January. A taxpayer is permitted to make amendments to the return while the inquiry is in progress, although the revenue will not process such amendments until the inquiry is completed.
During the inquiry, either party may refer questions to the tribunal for their consideration and determination.
Once the inquiry has been completed, the revenue will issue a closure notice. This will include a statement of the revenue's conclusions and any amendments to the return deemed necessary as a result of the inquiry. The taxpayer has 30 days to appeal against any amendments included within the closure notice. The revenue may only inquire into a tax return once. Therefore, once a closure notice has been issued, the revenue may not raise further inquiries into the return. For instance, if they felt their initial inquiries were inadequate or not sufficiently wide-reaching. This is subject to the rules on discovery, which we will cover in a later module. An inquiry may be opened into an amendment to the tax return. However, the inquiry will be restricted to matters covered in the amendment and cannot extend to the original return. If a taxpayer does not have final figures prior to the filing date for a return, he should enter provisional figures on the return rather than miss the filing deadline. The provisional figures should clearly be identified in the tax return. Once the correct figure is available, it should be notified to HMRC, together with any amended self-assessment. A penalty could be charged if the taxpayer did not have a good reason for supplying provisional figures or provided unreasonable ones. Estimated figures may be included on a tax return. The taxpayer may wish the figures to be accepted as final, for example, where an accurate figure cannot be provided because records have been lost. Such figures must be identified on the tax return. However, if the taxpayer considers the estimates to be reliable, for example, the private proportion of a business expense, there is no need to draw attention to the figures. It is easier to keep one's returns up to date and avoid interest and penalties, etc., if we retain full and proper records. Taxpayers are required to retain records of income and capital gains for at least 22 months after the end of the tax year to which they relate. Taxpayers who are self-employed or who have income from property must retain records for at least 5 years and 10 months after the end of the tax year to which they relate. In certain situations, records must be kept for longer than the minimum period stipulated by HMRC. For example, if there is an inquiry into the return which has not been completed by the date for which records must normally be retained, proper records must be kept until the inquiry is completed. Also, if the return is submitted late, the period within which the HMRC can commence an inquiry is extended. In this instance, records must be kept until the final date for commencing an inquiry has passed. Penalties may be charged for failure to retain proper records. The maximum penalty is £3,000 for each failure to maintain records sufficient to support entries on the return. HMRC will consider each case on its merits and have power to mitigate this penalty. Appeals against the imposition of such penalties may be made to the tribunal. Where a tax return is not filed by the filing date, HMRC may make an estimate of the tax due to the best of their information and belief. This is known as a determination and is treated as a self-assessment. The taxpayer cannot appeal against a determination, but it is automatically replaced once the actual self-assessment is filed. The tax charged by a determination is payable on the normal due date for the liability for the year. A determination cannot be made after 3 years from the due date for the return. A determination can only be replaced by an actual self-assessment made within the same period, or 12 months from the date of the determination if later.